Hi, Tom. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Did you have were your holidays fun?
They were. My kid was back home for most of a month, so that was fun.
How's she doing in school?
She's doing great. Yeah, she's doing great. She did well for a semester, and I think she was glad to be home for a while, sleeping in every day.
Yeah,
as college kids will do when they don't have a schedule.
Right.
But yeah, she's doing good. Thank
you. That's good. Well, congratulations on that. That's fantastic. Well, we're here. It's a brand new year, and we got all kinds of new automotive and car related stories to talk about. We've got the Daily Drive blog to talk about, and some of the test drives that you've been doing, and we got our phone lines are open for talk and text. If anybody has any concerns or questions about cars or automotive things, Tom can give you some advice and help you out at 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Tom, as always, tell everybody about Consumer Guide Automotive.
Yeah, thanks. Consumer Guide Automotive, or just consumerguide.com. Consumer Guide's been around since 1967. We went online in 1995. Consumerguide.com is where all of our new car and used car reviews and reports live. Our long-form test drives live on our blog. That's the CGDailyDrive.com blog. But you can just get there from Consumer Guide as well, either way. But get to the blog. We try to have some fun with the news. We look at old concept cars. I did a piece on the Trump limousine, for example. So there's all sorts of stuff there that's tertiarily related to the auto industry.
Okay, and that's all available at ConsumerGuide.com.
Yep.
And I also really love the... We'll talk about it later. How to push start your car, that chart.
I love that chart.
Yeah, which used to be a thing. People might not remember. It used to be a thing.
So. Yeah, it's actually frightening.
Yeah, pretty. But now, so, Tom, do you go back? What do? You go back into the old issues and stuff like that and dig through that stuff to write those to write those blog posts?
Yeah, well, Consumer Guide stuff goes back to 1967, as I mentioned, so that's very fertile ground for blog posts now. But before that, we have an excellent library of old stuff, and that push start thing that you just mentioned actually comes from a roughly 1959 or 1960 book of helpful hints that was mailed out to policyholders by Allstate.
That's great. That's really great. You must have a lot of fun digging this stuff up.
Yeah, I really do. I love that stuff, and I love the old drawings.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite thing in any of that old content.
That's great. Great stuff. Okay, so what have you been driving? Tell me what you've been driving lately.
Yeah, today I just got into the 2019 Ram 1500 Laramie. Mm. The Ram pickup was redesigned for 2019, and the big news about the vehicle I'm driving is that it's equipped. Finally, there was sort of a slow launch of this, of the eTorque mild hybrid system. So this is optional in V8 models. It's about $1,400, but your fuel economy improves 2 in the city and 1 on the highway. So if you do a lot of driving, that would be worth your while. So I just got into it. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of mileage I get.
So far, I mean, it's early, but are you enjoying the feel of it and how it drives?
Yeah, the new Ram pickups are insanely luxurious. They're not even pickup trucks anymore. They're borderline luxury cars, and the cabin of this thing is just over the top. But yeah, I'm enjoying driving it very much.
Okay, and what have you driven also more recently as well?
Just to refresh my memory about what a truck feels like, I just got out of the Toyota 4Runner, which is an old school body on frame midsize SUV. And it's actually, if you need that, if you go someplace where the snow is deep or you have to ford a stream or something like that, the 4Runner feels like $1 million. It's a little big, a little heavy. But if you're actually looking for something that can tow and cross rutted roads and go through the woods, this is your vehicle.
Mm, okay. Now, how long, and I've asked this question before just to remind everybody, how long do you usually drive these cars? How long are you driving them? How many miles do you usually put on?
What we try to do is schedule a vehicle at our office for 2 weeks, and then we try to get 4 drivers through each vehicle.
Mm.
This is for our Best Buy voting. So each one of us drives it for either 3 or 4 days.
And so do the opinions vary a lot between you 4 people?
It's rare that they vary a lot, but we do end up at the end of the year with people who have certain favorites that they really appreciate, and that's where the deliberations can get interesting.
Yeah, we talked about that the last time you were on. about how some arguments you have to make a case for certain cars and the conversations can get a little intense.
They can, yeah. There are certain vehicles that, like, there's the new Ford EcoSport, for example. This is Ford's entry into the subcompact crossover field. Three of our writers are pretty much just uninterested in the vehicle. We're just a little bit disappointed in it. But our guy Rick loves the thing.
Uh-huh.
He loves the strange side hinged rear hatch opening. He loves the interior materials and stuff. And I'm like, I don't know what Rick's deal is, but he's a huge advocate of the EcoSport.
Oh wow, okay, that's interesting. Tom, hang on, okay.
Will do.
All right, Tom Appel is with us, and you can read his stuff at consumerguide.com, and you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And our phone lines are open right now, and our text lines are open. If you have a concern, an automotive question, if you're looking to get a car and you want some advice in the automotive world, Tom is an expert, and he'll help you out. 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. More with Tom right after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good morning. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. every weekday morning. I'm your overnight dude, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Coming up a little bit later on, we're going to be talking about some words that turn 100 this year and some other phrases. And we love talking about language and also some products that you never thought would be obsolete. That's all coming up. If you want to make any comments or jump in here at any time, text or talk, it's 312-981-7200. And specifically right now, if you have questions about cars or any automotive related questions or concerns, Tom Appel is here. And again, 312-981-7200. Tom is with Consumer Guide Automotive. He's the publisher of that. And you can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. He joins us once a month, and we're glad to have him back. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. Before we get to some of the stories that we're going to talk about here, just an observation here. You know, we just finished with the holiday season, okay?
Yeah.
And during the holiday season, there seems to be a plethora of TV commercials that involve people buying cars for their loved ones. Now, I've lived on this planet for over 53 years, Tom, and I don't know anyone who has ever purchased a car for someone for Christmas. Is this a common thing? And why is every single commercial during every single car commercial during the holiday season is about a husband buying a wife a car, or a wife buying a husband a car, or something like that? Is that really a phenomenon?
I don't think it is. I see these, and I don't know the answer to that question, and I've been asked this before.
Yeah.
I do know that someone in my office actually located a company that sells bows big enough for cars, and they didn't seem to be doing a lot of business.
Yeah, that's the other thing, Tom. Every single one of the cars in those commercials has a giant red bow on top of it.
There's the one... The one that kills me is the guy that buys his wife a GMC Acadia, but she wants the pickup truck he bought himself.
Right.
And all I can think about is that that's $110,000 worth of stocking stuffers. That's a heck of a Christmas.
That's the thing. That's what I'm talking about, Tom. Every time I would, just this past, the past few weeks where you're inundated with these commercials, I just can't. Every time I watch one, I'm like, nobody buys cars for their husbands or wives. That just doesn't happen. And again, like you, how much money are you spending for Christmas? I mean, let me ask you this, Tom. Do you know, are sales during the holidays, does it spike?
No. Actually, December starts to be... is a strange month because sales are sort of really strong towards the beginning of the month, and then they taper off as people sort of get distracted by holiday planning.
Right.
And then January and February are very slow sales months.
Right, right.
So I have no idea whether or not the notion of, hey, I could give a car as a gift is really a trigger or not. I doubt it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's always been fascinating to me. And this year, I don't know why, but this year it seemed like every single car commercial. And, depending on what, sort of programming you're watching, there are several car commercials that happen during commercial breaks. And, I watch a lot of Hawks games and stuff. And so, there's a car commercial every break. It's beer and cars. And so, yeah, I just that was an observation that I made. It's like I don't believe these commercials. These people in these commercials don't exist.
I don't believe they happen. And I think it was primarily Lexus, GMC, and Mercedes running those ads this time, this year. And Lexus always does it. Lexus just likes the big bows.
I can't believe you. Where is this? Do you know where this company is that makes the giant bows for the cars?
No. They were fairly expensive.
Are they?
But, yeah.
So not only are you paying a ton of money for the car, but you're also paying a lot of money for the bow that just goes on top of it that you're going to pitch into the garbage in 20 minutes.
Yeah, my grandmother used to save bows, but that one seems too big.
No, that's what I was going to say. You can't reuse that one. Yeah, no, I mean, everybody, you know, we reused bows all the time, but not that size. What are you going to
Yeah.
So, all right. A couple of quick texts, Tom.
Okay.
773 area code says we're interested in purchasing a 2019 Toyota RAV4 hybrid. They won't be out until March, but what do you think of them?
Oh, I have not driven the RAV4 hybrid yet. I really like the old RAV4 hybrid. It's a fairly affordable system. It uses a system where only the rear wheels are driven by electricity, which cuts down on weight and cost, but it's nearly as effective. And it for that reason, the hybrid is not that much more expensive than the conventional version, but the fuel economy is generally good. I seriously considered purchasing one, just full disclosure, of the last generation. I suspect it's going to be very good.
Okay. All right. Very cool. When did Toyota get into the hybrid game?
Wow. The first Prius came out almost 20 years ago, something like that?
Is it that long, really?
Yeah, and they've been in the game ever since. And virtually every Lexus model, for example, Lexus is a division of Toyota, is available as a hybrid. And most Toyota models are available as hybrids. And they're generally very good hybrids. And the fuel economy advantages is usually significant.
Do they kind of lead the hybrids then? Are they in the category?
Yeah, they're certainly selling the most hybrids, and in most categories in terms of just general refinement and seamlessness of operation, Toyota's kind of ahead of that game.
Okay. Also from the 773 area code. By the way, if you guys have any questions or concerns or automotive questions, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. What does Tom think of the 2019 Jeep Compass?
Oh, the Compass. The Compass is Jeep's compact crossover. It sold insanely well in 2018. I think there's a lot of good vehicles out there, but I wouldn't talk anyone out of buying this. It's generally space efficient. It's kind of fun to drive. My primary concerns with that vehicle is that the only engine available in the U.S. market is FCA's, that's Fiat Chrysler, FCA's Tiger Shark 2.4-liter engine, and it's a little gruff. I just don't think it's that refined, but I would definitely, if you want one, I would definitely drive that. And then I would try a couple other vehicles, try a Honda CR-V, and we just mentioned the RAV4.
The RAV4, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so there's some of the texts that that we've gotten that are coming in. We're going to take a break here for the news in a minute here, Tom.
Okay.
We come back, we're going to talk about how auto sales increased in 2018.
Unexpectedly, yeah, they're up.
And then the original 1960 Ford Broncos are making a comeback.
Crazy.
And again, you know, I mean, the first thing you when I say Ford Bronco and people are hearing, what's the first thing that pops into people's minds when you say Ford Bronco?
Got to be O.J. Simpson.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so unfortunate.
It is because the Ford Bronco, you know, a lot of people really love that car, and then all of a sudden now it's always associated with O.J. Simpson. That's like when we talk sports, Tom. And whenever I mention George Brett, who was one of the greatest baseball players who ever played the game, you know, amazing. First thing I think of when I think of George Brett is pine tar and then hemorrhoids. That's the first thing I think of. And it's so unfortunate, you know, like the first thing you think of when you think of Ford Bronco is O.J. Simpson and George Brett. Well, that would be hemorrhoids and pine tar. Despite the fact that he was an amazing baseball player, so
that is exactly the same thing.
All right, Tom, hang on, okay?
I will.
All right, Tom Appel is with us. We got more car stories and automotive stuff to talk about. And if you have questions or comments or concerns, automotive related, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for our talk and text. So we'll take a break. We got the news coming up next here on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're here until 5 a.m. It's Tuesday morning. That means 2 for Tuesday. Here, man, 2 for Tuesday. Get your request in now. That's one artist, two songs. Get them in now. We'll play them later. 312-981-7200 for your 2 for Tuesday requests. And also call that number or text that number for any and all automotive and car-related questions, because Tom Appel is with us from Consumer Guide Automotive. Follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom, get your questions in now at 312-981-7200. Let's welcome Tom back to the show. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right, we got a caller here. Here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hey, Nick. How you, Tom?
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I just got a comment about giving cars out to your spouse. In the good old days, perhaps better days, I was a car dealer's son. I was born in 52, so around 69, 70, I was dad's elf, and I slipped a lot of cars into garages on Christmas Eve at about midnight or 1 a.m.
Is that right?
To surprise the spouse. Usually the husband was surprising the wife. Mm. And, I don't know how we got the garage doors open without making a ruckus, but, did it several times.
Now, did you attach bows to the top of the car, John?
Well, I have a follow-up story, a sad addendum to that.
Uh-huh.
My big red bow story is that I can't remember. Dad was selling Buick, and we sold also the English sports car, the MG.
Mm.
And the elf was deputed to put big red bows on top of and around, I think, two or three MGBs that were in the showroom. And my sister, who was older, had a friend at the time who had, she was a mother that just had become, I think, oblivious to what her kids would do right in front of her, you know, and as she talked to my dad politely, like two islands in the stream, these three hellions came in and ripped everything off these cars, and I spent like 4 hours doing it.
Man.
And of course, I couldn't say anything. They were a friend of the family,
yeah.
and they were our customers, but I thought, oh, if I could get my hands on
them,
you know, there'd be sticks and coal for those little buggers. You know.
Well, that was my effort
with a big red bow.
Those are great stories, John. Thanks for the call.
Sure thing.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
That's interesting, Tom. You had to sneak into people's garages on Christmas Eve.
It's good work if you can get it.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, the holiday buying car thing continues. Let's see. Now, speaking of car sales, auto sales increased in 2018. Let's talk a little bit about that, Tom. Tell us what you know about that.
Yeah, they did, although only a couple of companies really contributed to the actual growth. Just up a little bit. It was like 17.3 million last year, up from like 17.2 million the year before. But a lot of that was driven by Jeep, which had a phenomenal year. That is a brand that is being well nurtured by its parent company, and the iconic Wrangler has been redesigned for 2018. That's back. That's doing very well. And we just talked about the Compass a moment ago. That's selling very well as well. So people who are abandoning cars are really like going to Jeep. That and Subaru had a great year, which is a brand that just always seems to quietly have good years.
Yeah, and Fiat Chrysler looks like it had a great year, too.
Yeah, and that was almost driven
just
entirely
by the Jeep.
By Jeep, yeah. Some good business there at Ram, too.
Yeah, and then down for some of the other places, which is why it does generally have auto sales been going down, or have they leveled out over the years?
Well, they were doing fairly strong. What we saw was that incredible drop in car sales after the big economic crash of 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
And we've been coming back ever since. But people thought that comeback was kind of over. And the year before last, 2017, everyone thought, well, that was the beginning of a slow but steady decline for a while. So this year came as quite a surprise. Not quite a surprise, just a little bit of a surprise. Should have been down this year, up a little bit.
Okay. All right. Well, that's the latest on that. We've got some texts that have come in, Tom.
Okay.
Jesse says, hello, Tom. Have you or one of your coworkers driven any of the Audi electric vehicles? If so, what's the verdict?
No, the Audi. The big news from Audi is the Audi e-tron, which is going to be a mid-size crossover, and I hope to drive that very soon. I'm not entirely sure when test-drivable examples will be hitting the U.S., but that is a mid-size car. Should be competing more or less with the Jaguar I-Pace, though it's a little bit bigger. It's going to have a 90-kilowatt-hour battery. Should be good for like 250, 280 miles within a plug-in. Very interested to drive it. Have not seen one yet.
Okay. Squat says, in 2010, I bought my mom and dad a 2005 Buick LeSabre. It wasn't new, but they needed a car in the worst way. I'm assuming he means for Christmas, or just bought it for him in general.
Good kid.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, one of my favorite car names of all time.
The LeSabre?
The LeSabre.
That is a great car name.
Yeah, oh, that's one of my favorite car names of all time, the LeSabre. 608 area code says, Tom mentioned Ram trucks. I love my 2016 Ram Longhorn. Dodge builds a great truck.
Yeah, the thing that Dodge did a couple of years ago, and it included the 2016, is that they engineered a coil spring rear suspension. All the other major big pickups use a leaf spring rear suspension, and it made all the difference in the world in terms of ride and handling. The Dodges, well, now Rams, they're a step above. It's fascinating how well they ride and handle, and it's impressive. You can feel it from behind the wheel, and yeah, people who own them love them.
All right. Mary says, my son has a Tesla, is obsessed with it. What does Tom think of them? And that brings us to a story concerning Tesla cutting prices.
Yeah, I've only spent significant time with one Tesla. It was a Model X, which is the crossover. And I was very impressed by it dynamically. If I was going to dislike anything about that car, I thought the price was a little high, and I thought that the ride was a little brittle, but it was riding on ridiculously huge 22-inch wheels that are not necessary, and they were optional. But, yeah, I mean, the Teslas I've driven, I've been impressed by. I don't have that much experience with them.
Not much experience, but you have been impressed. Well, Mary's son is obsessed, Tom.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
Okay. And then I got a story right in my hand right here. Shares of electric car and solar panel maker Tesla, Inc. tumbled Wednesday morning after the company cut vehicle prices by $2,000 and announced fourth quarter sales figures that fell short of Wall Street estimates.
Yeah, two things about that now. The total sales fell short in the fourth quarter, but Tesla came very close to delivering all the Model 3s that it meant to deliver, and in fact sold 25,000 Model 3s in December.
Wow.
So not only did they actually build them, which was the question, whether they could actually build as many as they always promised to build, but they actually sold that many. So I hate to sound like a Tesla apologist because I've been a naysayer for so long, but even if the numbers are a little bit disappointing, there's an awful lot of bright spots in those numbers. However, you mentioned the $2,000 cost reduction, and this is a problem for profitability. The federal tax credit, which was $7,500, has been used up by Tesla. The deal was once you sold 200,000 vehicles with that, the credit dropped by half. So from $7,500 to $3,750, Tesla's going to comp you about half of that in a reduced price, but that's going to hurt their profitability, and they're still going to lose some sales because they're still a slightly higher cost being borne by the consumer with the reduced tax incentive.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting stuff right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's messy.
Yeah. By the way, you said 25,000 cars just in December?
Just Model 3s.
Model 3s. 25,000
Model
3s.
Yeah, that's the new compact car.
In December. Well, see, now we know who's buying all the Christmas cars for people.
Yeah.
That's where all the Bows are going. The Bows are going on top of Model 3s.
Yeah.
All right. Another text here. And again, you guys, if you want to join us, talk or text 312-981-7200. Laura says, what is Tom's opinion of the new Jeep Gladiator? Is it useful as a utility truck or just a fun toy?
Most people are going to buy it as a fun toy. For people who don't know, the Gladiator is Jeep's first pickup truck in a very long time. How long? I'm going to say like 20 plus years. And it's based on the Wrangler, and it looks like the Wrangler. So it should be priced like the Wrangler. So it's going to be a little bit expensive for a pickup truck. But that said, in terms of it being a toy, it should be every bit as capable off-road as the Wrangler. So I think it's going to have an audience. That's a fairly stout piece of architecture. Should be able to tow and do a lot of things you would need from a pickup.
Mm-hmm.
But it is going to come in on the pricey side.
Okay. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Now, we mentioned the original 1960s Ford Broncos are going to be made by an Illinois company, new. What, tell us about this.
Yeah, there's a company called Gateway Bronco in a place called Hamel, Illinois. I'm not familiar with Hamel, but they're doing something that not entirely uncommon in the auto world, but they are finding first-generation Broncos. So that's going back from 1960, I think it's 1966 to 1977. And you had mentioned the OJ Bronco, but actually this generation was smaller, a little bit more like a Jeep Wrangler.
Mm.
And they were really just great-looking little trucks, and they were really useful off-road, and they were light, they were small, they were simple. And there's just a lot of truck enthusiasts who love these. So this company, Gateway Bronco, is finding original trucks, or you can bring them your truck, and they will rebuild them from the ground up to give you what is essentially a brand new vehicle.
Wow.
It's very expensive, but the results, based on the pictures I've seen, are very cool. And this is one of those vehicles because it was so simple that you can do this to that vehicle.
Now, this is a small market of people who are going to be getting these
products. Yeah, they run from something like $100,000 to $200,000, so the market is necessarily small, but it's just good to see these vehicles being restored at all, and I'm just excited that there's an audience for vehicles like these, because it's the kind of thing that seems to be shrinking over time.
Mm. And are there a lot of companies like this Gateway Bronco that do similar things to different models of cars?
Yeah, I actually found another company called Classic Ford Broncos that does exactly the same stuff. So there are companies out there that do this. And you'll find other vehicles, too. Generally, they need to be older vehicles that are fairly simple and easy to restore, because the minute you start looking for small interior pieces or weird trim pieces, the whole thing gets expensive and complicated.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's interesting that there's a subculture that exists out there for this.
Yeah, and I'm glad there is. It warms my heart.
Okay. All right, Tom, hang on, all right?
I will. Thanks.
All right, Tom Appel is with us, and he is with Consumer Guide Automotive. You can check out consumerguide.com and follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And again, we got some more minutes here with Tom. He's going to hang out with us, and if you have any concerns or questions or automotive questions or inquiries, it's 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. More with Tom after this on 720 WGN. All right, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here till 5 o'clock. Coming up, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, the great Steve Cochran at 6 with his morning drive. And also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio. Welcome back, everyone. And we're joined by Tom Appel, who joins us once a month. He's with the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And you can also just directly ask a question here while he's with us. That's automotive or car related. 312-981-7200. And Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about the Zimmer Quicksilver. This is a piece that you wrote for the Daily Drive blog. Just give us the Zimmer Quicksilver.
So Zimmer, for people who remember, is a car that was making these sort of crazy, over-the-top, retro-looking cars that looked a little bit like brass-era American cars, but were based on current cars, and were just festooned with things like horns and chrome wheels and strange spare tires that served no function. But like Excalibur, if people remember the company Excalibur, it's the same kind of really strange car. A lot of them were based on the early Mercedes-Benz SSK, which was a truly beautiful car, but they never quite hit the mark. But Zimmer decided at some point to make a smaller vehicle, and they based it on the Pontiac Fiero of all vehicles.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And the Fiero suits itself well to this because it had plastic body panels that came off easily, and other than that, it was a full chassis. So you could easily remove the body panels from a Fiero and replace them with other body panels. So Zimmer did this, and they went absolutely over the top doing this. And every body panel is different. And to stretch the car, they couldn't stretch a Fiero easily because the engine was actually behind the cabs. They had to stretch the car up front. So there's a very strange bit of proportion to this car, and I recommend everyone look at this on our website just to see the pictures, just to see what it looks like. And it looks a little bit like an old Lincoln had a baby with a Fiero, maybe. What's interesting is they're strangely collectible now.
They are.
Yeah.
Well, what do they go for?
I've seen good examples going for around $25,000, unbelievably.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they're fairly rare, and once they're sorted out, they should be fairly reliable. So, I mean, and the parts aren't expensive. They're Fiero parts, which can be had anywhere. So you're not going to see yourself coming and going in one of these.
No. Wow. All right, that's the Zimmer Quicksilver. By the way, I like that you maintain that it could have been worse.
Yes. It's actually, for as much as I find it strange to look at and almost unsettling, it's sort of a cohesive look.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Because I love that you also point out that if you look at it long enough, it becomes cool.
Yes.
Okay. It takes a while for your mind and your eyes to adjust.
Yeah, it takes a bit. But
that's funny. All right. We got a couple more texts here, Tom.
Okay.
All right. Jerry says, has Tom heard about the new Ford Mustang with the EcoBoost?
Yeah. What happened for 2018 is that the 2.3-liter EcoBoost engine, which had been optional, became standard. So that's what we're talking about right now. That is the standard engine for 2019 as well. I think it's rated at 310 horsepower, which is more than many of the V8s that preceded it. And it's actually a very nice base engine. Fuel economy is good. It develops all sorts of torque down low. If you think you don't need a rocket ship, I think that the base engine is just fine in the Mustang.
Okay. Jeff says, what does Tom think of the new Ford Explorer? Is it well made? Is it worth the cost?
Well, the new Ford Explorer I haven't seen yet. That's actually being introduced this week.
Mm.
So Ford is introducing a brand new Explorer. The first one we're going to see is actually a police pursuit vehicle. Those are actually built at the Torrance Avenue plant in Chicago.
Is that right? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's a local product. And then there's going to be a Lincoln based on that product also. So we're going to see the Ford police vehicle, the Lincoln, and then we'll see the base Explorer after that. Interesting thing, it's going to be a rear drive based vehicle. It's been front drive up to now, and that may actually be a nod to police service. I'm not entirely sure, but it could also represent sort of a commitment to general refinement of the vehicle. So it could go up in price.
Oh, okay. 231 area code says Saturn would put a big red bow on a new car when the buyer picked it up from the showroom. What?
Oh, man, I knew that. In 1993, my sister bought a Saturn SL1, and they put the bow on there and took her picture with the car. I remember that.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Well, now we know how that company stays in business.
Exactly.
We're learning all about the Big Red Bow Company this morning. That's my takeaway from the conversation this morning, Tom.
And that's a good one.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you learned anything today.
Exactly. Now I want to learn how to, but now I want to close it out by learning how to push start my car. Tell everybody where you found this. And I'm looking at this chart. This is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Someone who works in my office was cleaning out his aunt's basement, and he presented me with a book called Money Saving Facts for the Car Owner. And this book had been distributed by Allstate, I'm thinking back in 1959 or 1960.
Uh-huh.
And it's filled with information that no car owner today would ever need to know. How to advance your timing, how to clean your carburetor, just great stuff like that. How to install a light under the hood of your vehicle. No one would do that. But this one page actually has instructions for how to push start your car. And not just any car, your car with automatic transmission.
Yeah.
A thing I literally did not know people ever did.
Yeah.
But there are rules here, and they're incredible because these involve having your car pushed by another car up to a speed of between 15 and 25 miles an hour while you're in neutral, and then slamming it into first.
That's got to be good for the vehicle, right?
It can't be good for either vehicle.
Oh, my
God. But there are very precise directions for how to do it based on different vehicles. I love this chart so much. It also gives the brand names of a lot of these transmissions, which are really great.
Yeah, the Dynaflow was in the Buick. The Dynaflow, push in neutral to 15 miles per hour, and then shift to low. The Cadillac had the hydromatic transmission, push in neutral up to 20 miles an hour, and then shift right to drive.
Just go straight to drive. What could go wrong?
And this is like a handy chart that you can just like carry around or you know, just keep with you. Yeah, some of the names of these, the names of these transmissions are great.
Yeah, I love these.
The Pontiac, the Hydromatic Power Glide 53.
Which is a quality name.
Yeah, a great name. Get it, put it in neutral, push it up to 25 miles per hour, and then hit drive, put it right into low.
The Packard Ultramatic.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember that name, the Packard Ultramatic. That one's up to 25, and then just slam it into drive. It's good. It's all good.
And this is all helpful. Allstate, I'm assuming that Allstate did this so that they could get more money from people. That would be my, and Allstate put this stuff out. It's like, yeah, these people are going to follow these instructions and we're going to have all kinds of claim. We're going to have all kinds of money coming from these people. You see, always push a car with an automatic transmission when trying to start it. When the engine starts, it might jump forward and, if being towed, damage the car ahead. This is just priceless, man.
Yeah, so don't tow it up to speed.
Right.
I assume then, this just assumes that you and the person helping you out have chains in your trunk. I mean, that's just... I don't know how else you would have done that.
Oh, that's so funny. And this chart, you can see it in all its glory at cgdailydrive.com. That's really fun. I love that this was found in a guy's aunt's basement.
Yeah, it's in great condition. I've gotten a couple of articles out of it, and I plan to continue milking this for comedy value.
Well, I remember one of the other articles. I can't remember the specifics of it, but we talked about one of the things that was taken from that book.
Yeah, it was a couple. I think it was a quiz on how to maximize economy of your car.
Oh, that yeah, I think that's what it was. I think that's what it was. Fantastic. All right. Well, that's great. People should check that out for sure at the cgdailydrive.com. And also, you have the forgotten concept, the Oldsmobile profile.
Yeah. Yeah. Oldsmobile seemed to understand the crossover long before it happened. It's a good-looking little concept car.
And that's out there, too. You can read it there as well. Oh, and also, I think next month it will be right around auto show time here in Chicago.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
What are the dates for that? Do you know?
I don't have the exact dates in front of me, but the actual open days of the auto show always include Valentine's Day.
Ah, okay. All right.
So they include that weekend, yeah. So the press days will be right before that.
All right, so we'll get to jump in to some of the stories about the auto show as well.
Absolutely.
All right. Tom, always a pleasure, my friend, and we will talk to you next month.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you.
Take care, buddy. Tom Appel, everybody. He's the best. Again, he's the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He contributes to their Daily Drive blog. And you can check out the website, consumerguide.com. That'll also take you to the Daily Drive blog. And again, follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. And we will talk with him again next month, right before the auto show. All right. Take a break. The news is coming up next.